Well, you get down the fiddle and you get down the bow. Kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light. Louisiana Saturday night. Waiting in the front yard, sitting on a log, a single shot rifle and a one-eyed dog. Yonder come a kinfolk in a moonlight, Louisiana Saturday night. Oh, get down the fiddle now, get down the bow. Kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light, Louisiana Saturday night.
It's Friday, September 23rd, 2011. I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. Now, Fridays on the Daily, we take one of your questions. Today's question reads, "For crying out loud, please explain the Trinity." When Lindsay and I were living in Tuscaloosa, we worked for a company called Randall Publishing. On Wednesday mornings, I led a Bible study in one of the conference rooms in the office. We often had very interesting discussions, because we had people from all different backgrounds, Roman Catholics, Protestants, what have you. And one particular day, the question came up, how are we to understand the Trinity? And I said, well, think about Scott. My boss was named Scott, and he was there at the Bible study. I said, Scott is a father, husband, and boss, yet he's one man. In the same way, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but he's one God. Now, I went home that day, not really settled on my answer, and I started doing a little research, and come to find out, I was actually teaching a heresy called modalism. I went back and confessed and repented of my sin. Now, let me put all cards on the table. The Trinity is hard to understand. No bones about it. And because it's hard to understand, it's hard to explain. But while we can't plumb the depths of this doctrine, we can do two things. We can clarify what it is and clarify what it's not. So first of all, what it is. Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20 is known as the Great Commission, and Jesus says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name." Or that name right there is singular, not plural, but then it says, "in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And what we have right here is an early indication of the Trinitarian Godhead. I like what the ESV Study Bible says in trying to explain the doctrine of the Trinity. By the way, the ESV Study Bible is probably the best study Bible I've ever come across, and I would recommend it to anyone. And it says this, "The biblical teaching on the Trinity embodies four essential affirmations. Number one, there is one and only one true and living God." All right, this reflects the Shema in Deuteronomy 6. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." So no doubt about that, there's one God. Number two, this one God eternally exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Number three, these three persons are completely equal in attributes, each with the same divine nature. And then number four, while each person is fully and completely God, the persons are not identical. The differences among the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are found in the way they relate to one another and the role each plays in accomplishing their unified purpose. All right, that's about as simple as you can get in explaining what the Trinity is. Now let's look at what it's not. First of all, it's not a heresy called tritheism. This is the belief in three gods. Now, this belief overemphasizes the distinctions between the persons of the Trinity to the point where suddenly you're looking at three different gods here. All right, if you've ever heard the example that the Trinity is like an egg with three parts, the yolk, the white, and the shell, what you're hearing there is not an orthodox teaching on the Trinity, but a heresy called tritheism. Mormonism believes in a type of tritheism. The second heresy is called modalism. This is the heresy that I described in the Bible study. It is the belief in only one person of God who appears in different forms. So when I said that Scott was a father, boss, and husband, that was the heresy called modalism. It is a heresy. And this is probably the one that creeps into the even conservative churches more than anyone else. And the third heresy that we've got to be aware of is a heresy called Arianism. This belief denies the full deity of the Son. Arianism was an early heretical teaching that taught that because God is one, Jesus could not have also been truly God. Through the leadership of a guy named Athanasius, this was condemned as heresy at the Council of Nicaea in AD 325, where it was affirmed that Christ is of the same nature as the Father. Now, this is the official teaching of Jehovah's Witnesses, which was founded in 1881 by a guy named Charles Russell. They believe that Jesus is the archangel of Michael, and the Spirit is simply a cosmic force of Jehovah. Now, here's a big question. What does this mean to us on a day-to-day basis? See, what I love about the study of the Trinity is that it's not simply abstract philosophy. There are some practical implications of the doctrine of the Trinity, one of which comes from this week's discussion on love. Gary Brashears says, Trinitarian life is love. When 1 John 4:7 says love is from God, it is revealing that love emanates from the Trinitarian community of God. Trinitarian love includes love for God, family, friend, neighbor, stranger, and even enemy. This is because even though we were enemies of God, estranged by sin, Jesus came to be our neighbor, loved us as a friend, died for our sins to make us family, and shared with us God's love. So here's the practical take home. We're called to do the same. May we reflect the character of God, and may our lives be marked by love. Love for family, friend, neighbor, stranger, and yes, even enemy. And in so doing, may we magnify Christ in all the earth. I'm Ben Bowden, and I'll meet you again next week on the First Baptist Daily.
Get down the bow, kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light, Louisiana Saturday night. Oh, get down the fiddle now, get down the bow, kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light, Louisiana Saturday night.